So we're all looking forward to Yom Tov Shavuos, which is coming pretty soon on to us. And every Yom Tov, we already have the feelings of Shavuos that's arriving. Cheesecake, which by the way, people should just continue coming up and get. Don't worry. Don't leave it here for the end. But there's a group of people, about 20 to 30 people in our state of Florida, that are not going to be celebrating Shavuos tomorrow night. There's many more, actually, that are not going to be celebrating tomorrow night. But there's a small group of people called Karaites, and not the brightest people, the Rambam tells us, that are celebrating Shavuos on Sunday night, this coming Sunday night. They do this because they stem from the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara Menachas tells us of the big mistake that was made at that time. At a certain point, they changed from starting to count Sefiras Omer from the day after Pesach, the second day after the first day of Pesach, second day of Pesach, till Sunday after the first day of Pesach. So therefore, their Shavuos always comes out on a Sunday because they're always starting on a Sunday. Well, I don't know if they do the second day of Shavuos. But yeah, they. I don't think you have to worry about Erev Tav Shilin either. Yeah, so it's clear that the Rambam says, the Rambam tells us that the Nevi'im and the Sanhedrin Shabbat Dar V'Dar, Shavuos was always count. It was always held on the 7 weeks from the second day of Pesach. At a certain point, they changed. Now they do make a point that Sfaratam L'chem Malchus Shabbos. The Torah says you should count from the day after Shabbos. Now, Chazal interpret that word Shabbos to refer to Yom Rishon Shabbos. The first day of Pesach is considered Shabbos. It refers to Shabbos. But they take it literally the seventh day of the week. So therefore, they're starting to count from Sunday. Now, at a certain point, they changed. And they made that determination that we're going to start counting from Sunday. I've never met any of these people. And I don't know what they would tell you if you would ask them what's in their heart, what's driving them, why are they insisting on this. I was speaking yesterday to Reb Gershon Ribner, my Rebbe, and he shared with me a hashara, a possible idea that really drives their whole movement, the whole movement of the Tzedukim, and probably their Karaites, their followers. So it really starts with the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, don't be like servants. Al tiu kavadim amsham shemes harav shalei amanas dekabel pras. Don't serve Hashem in order to receive reward. Rather, it should be independence of the reward. Don't think about the reward. And Avos Terem Nasan, which is an expansion of Pirkei Avos, tells us a little bit of the rest of the story. That Antignus Ishsoiche, who was the person that said this statement, had two Talmidim. One of them's name was Tzadik. And he came and he said, how could it be that a worker will work an entire day and not take his payment in the evening? Now, he understood that they were saying that there was payment, but his problem was on the structure over here. If we're workers for Hashem, why should our minds not be on the reward? We're workers. We're not slaves. And that was the essential difference in the hashkafa that they had. There's an eved and there's a payel. A servant, a slave really, he's not his own master. His whole essence is to do what his master says. And it's not for the reward. So he will be rewarded. But a worker, somebody that's a hired worker, that's why he's there. He's his own balabas. He works for himself. The reason why he's in your house today building that staircase is because he's going to get paid. And wouldn't it make sense if the system didn't involve payment? So for this reason, you know, we believe in Torah Shabbat Peh because the system of Torah Shabbat Peh makes sense, being that we have the insight and the discretion and the lack of negius that Eved has to be able to interpret his master's stated word. As opposed to a worker. It's a chutzpah for the worker to say, you know, I think that staircase would be better placed over there. We didn't discuss it exactly, but that's what we're gonna do. That would be totally out of bounds for him to make such decisions in his employer's rutzen. So this also explains why keteris, why they weren't willing to pour the keteris inside the kodesh kodeshim, because that's like a act of service. Like if you ever like, I got a very fancy restaurant, like sometimes they'll like pour the soup in front of you or make the meat in front of you. Like evich mezin lekodesh rabbi, the Mishnah Sukkah says. So that's an act of service, which is totally out of bounds for a hired worker. They would do it outside and then come in. So this is what was really driving them, says Regression, to change the start date for Sfiras HaEmer, which is Hachana for Kabbalah Sotera, from the day after Pesach, which is the day we got out of being Avadim, real Avadim from Pare, change it to do it after, start counting after the weekend. Because it's not one thing doesn't replace another. We were Avadim, you freed us, thank you. Now we're going to go into a different agreement, someone that's more of a hired worker, reward based, and it's not connected to one another, as opposed to the way it was historically kept, which was it's zeh tachazeh. We were avadim for Pari, now we're avadim to Hashem, and we're going to start the process of preparing for Kabbalah Sotera when we became avadim, right after we get out of Mitzrayim. I want to talk about a couple of psukim and malachim, which it's the story when Elisha promises the Ben Ashunamis, the Shunamis, the son, and she says, don't disappoint me, but it happens, the son is born. And these psukim, you could cry when you read them. It says, Vahi hayom vayetzei elav v'lakreitzer, and the boy went to his father the first day. You can imagine, he's a yelad, he's a little boy, he's probably 5-6 years old. He goes out to his father's working, and he tells his father, Reishi, Reishi. And so his father has him brought to his mother, and he sits on her knees, Ad Hatzaraim, and then he dies on her knees. So she doesn't tell her husband anything. She says, I'm going to go to Ishalakim. I'm going to go to Elisha. I'm going to take the child. I'm not going to take the child. I'm going to go to I'm going to take a donkey. I'm going to go to Elisha, and I'll come back. And he says, why are you going to him? It's not Rish Chodesh. In Tanakh, Rish Chodesh is referred to as Chodesh. They say Machar Chodesh. Interesting that the Maral says B'Chodesh Hashlish is referring to Rish Chodesh. Alderach, Tanakh refers to Chodesh as Rish Chodesh. Le Chodesh v'le Shabbos. So there's a famous question everybody's asking. Why does it say Rish Chodesh before Shabbos? Chayr Tadir v'she'en Tadir Tadir Kedem. Which is a general rule when you're approaching a mitzvah, and one of the mitzvahs is more regular than the other. So you do the more regular one first. And Rish Chodesh is more regular than Shabbos, obviously. So you'd assume that in a list, it would follow the same methodology. So there's a teretz that is said in the name of Reb Chaim, the son of the Biskarov, that he didn't tell her that it's Rish Chodesh today and it's Shabbos today. He said it's not Rish Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. And after all, the days that are not Rish Chodesh are a lot more frequent than the days that are not Shabbos. Which I believe it's said tongue in cheek, because if you look at all around Tanakh, you'll find this that Rish Chodesh comes before Shabbos in many, many different lists. In the Haftarah of Parshas Bamidbar, which you just missed because we're doing Machar Chodesh, Hashem tells Hoshea that v'hishbati kol mesoisa, Chod Shav Shabbat. I'm gonna cease all of Klal Yisrael's days of joy, her Rish Chodesh and her Shabbos. In the beginning of Yeshayah, we say this on Shabbos Chazayin. Chodesh v'Shabbos Krei Mikra. Shabbos v'Shchodesh, we say V'hayom Midei Chodesh v'Chodesh Midei Shabbos v'Shabbat. So this seems to be a very, very, it's not limited to this case. And over there, it's talking about days which are Rish Chodesh, are Shabbos. So this teretz would not apply. There's a beautiful and novel answer that Rabbi Melech Gottlieb in the Sefer Pnei Melech, I believe he's contemporary. He says, what happened? Let's go back to the story. The child dies on her knees. When was this? He went out during the harvest period. The harvest period, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So this is the period of Yom Tov. This is, maybe it's Mem Ba'Omer or something. This is time of year. So it's very easy to imagine that the father was saying, it's not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos of the Pasuk. It's not Yom Tov, meaning we're surrounded by Yom Tovim, backwards and forwards. It's not Yomtiv today. Why are you going to Ish Elikim? It's not Yomtiv. It's not Chodesh. And it's not Shabbos, and it's not Yomtiv. And if he's right, then the order of the pasuk is beautifully follows the frequency. Like Chodesh is more frequent than Yomtiv. Yomtiv is only every couple times a year. And there's two beautiful rayas to this that we learn out the chiyuv to lahakpil pnei rabba beregel, because it says lechidish v'leshabbos. Now, if Shabbos is not mentioned in the pasuk, this is Gemara Rosh Hashanah. If Shabbos is not mentioned in the pasuk at all, so that how do you learn out from here that you have to visit your Rebbe on Yontif? If he's there, leshabbos meant Yontif. Like it says, v'sartam lechem v'machras haShabbos, that means Yontif. Another eye is that the Mishnah in Edius says that Rishayim are judged in Gehenna for 12 months. Because it says, Midei Chodesh B'chadshei. Rabbi Yechon HaMenuri Omer, Mi Pesach V'ad Atzeres, Shenemar, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatei. So you see that this is not just an isolated thing that Chazal said when it says, U'svartim L'chamim Machras HaShabbos, it refers to Yontif. This is all over. All those cases that we just listed, where it says Rosh Chodesh before Shabbos, is for this reason. Because Shabbos over there also refers to Yontif. So the consistency of Chazal, that this is a real meaning of Shabbos, like an alternative meaning for the word Shabbos, that it refers to Yontif. Okay, a different nekuda is one of the Yugim Ikrim is Zeis Atera Leitei Mukhlefes. We believe that the same lulav and esrog that we shake, same tefillin, was what Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra, Hillel, the Rambam, all the Tanaim, Amoraim, Rishonim, Acharonim used the same thing. The Yavetz has a lashon. If you ask me, did Moshe Rabbeinu blow 30 kailas of the shofar? I will say no. He did not blow 30. He blew 100. The same way we do today. He did lulav with nanuim, halacha vayva, six directions. Pesach he had three matzahs. Now we see a very strange thing, which it seems like the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself is very different. It changes from generation to generation. It changes in the pace, in the format, in the approach, in the content, in what we're learning. This is a question Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks in Emes LeYaakov on Pirkei Avos. You know, we observe in our own generation that the way we learn in yeshivas very frequently is not the way that it was learned in the yeshivas in Europe. As far as pace, they learn like 30, 40, 50 baad azman. We don't do so much. The idea that there would be our Meir Shapiro that would come and say, there's a new thing called Daf Yomi. What about the Messiah? There was never a Daf Yomi before. Why are we such a new concept called, you know, a new Seder Alimur? And really, if you look in the Gemara says that betchila, in the beginning, everybody's father would teach them. It wouldn't be that you had a rabbi; your father would teach you. I mean, of course, the Messiah's Hatayr was done through a rabbi to Talmud, but just for the masses, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah was done with me'av leben. Like you see with Chizkiah, Menashe said when he was in the pot, he said, you know, zochrani masha hikra li avi batzar l'cha mitzucha. That was you learned from your father. Then the Gemara tells us that didn't work so well, so they said that they put Malamdim in Yerushalayim, and then they put Malamdim in every country, and they put Malamdim in every city, Yeshua and Gamlo. The whole format changed. Obviously, you know, the whole Ben Chamash Lemikra changed also. It used to be that you learned Teresh B'Chsav, you finished Teresh B'Chsav, you went to Teresh Baal Peh. Nowadays, people start Teresh Baal Peh, and it's not just nowadays, for many Darius, people talk without a superficial knowledge of the Chav Dalet Svarim. And the way Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks it, who allowed these reforms to take place? The Achrenim try to be Melamed Tzchus, but how did this ever happen? So, just to be mocked him, the Al-Sheikh says, when we say V'sein Chalkinim B'Seir Asecha, that doesn't mean that there's one thing called Torah and we all have to get a Chalik in it. Everybody has their own Chalik in Torah. And everybody's neshama was on a Har Sinai, and everybody received their own portion of that Torah. And that's what it means, Yagati Matzasi. You found that original chelek, and that's what was taught to you when you were in your mother's stomach, the Kol HaTorah Kula. It was your Torah, all the Torah that was negated to your neshama. That's what you learned. So the way Rabbi Yaakov expresses this is Gadol Talmud Amivli Demaisa. The tachlis of Talmud is to actualize yourself, and obviously the tzuras halimud is going to change based on internal and external factors throughout the generations and throughout the different people that are learning it, and based on that, the tzuras halimud is going to take on a different form. I once heard from Rabbi Elephant. This was a vad he gave to just different bnei yeshiva. And he said that, how do you know what your chelek in Torah is? He said, sometimes you'll be learning something, a mechaber, a mektzaya, something, and it'll speak to you, it'll resonate very deeply. It'll click. Something will, you won't be able to leave that var. That just, you're stuck to that. And not just because it's your muskel rishon, but you harvest on it, and that's it. He says, you should take that, that's gold. You should take that and run with it. That's your chelek in Torah. And the more of those you see, you'll know what you should be, you know, what your direction should be. So that's why sometimes probably you see Mechamta Shel Torah is very personal. People are, it's their neshama's chelek and Torah. And Lo Kichalka Shel Zeh, Chalka Shel Zeh. We see in the Gedalim, there were Gedalim that had, you know, let's say the Tziv had the Shiltis. That was one of his chalakim. And Chatzkal Ramsky had the Tesefta. And really, Mitzvah Talmud Torah is a very individualistic mitzvah. It's not like there's a you can't bring roses to your Dalminim. You have to bring Hadassim. This everybody could have a mikzayah in Torah that speaks to them, whether it's a sefer or a mechaber that like Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, re'eh chayim isha sharahavta ki hu chelka chabachayim bedivrei Torah kasam medaber, and this is your chilek, and we find the musig of mashali bechafetz, memishali bechafetz, b'makom shali bechafetz. It cannot be prescribed because it's very individual type of thing, and it can be affected by external factors like the generation. Or internal factors based on the person. And that's what you'll find in the idea that somebody could be chilek on the Rebbe. Or even one of the Gdelei Achrayim, you'll find people just, I prefer not to say that pshat. They might even say luli de mistafino, which doesn't mean that they're not saying it. Lula, if I wasn't scared, I would say it. Now I'm scared, I'm not going to say it. No, they're saying it. They're just talking derech kavod. So I couldn't find it, but I think I remember seeing Reb Chaim Volozhiner once said that there's a mitzvah to be chilek on your rabbi if you don't see his words, if you can you know, be mashing with those words. So I just to finish off that there was a kasha that Rishkel told me that this idea that there was an edyum, everybody had their crowns about harchayiv that they got. And the crown was a teitzah of them being mekabel Torah. This is a vort from Tzadik, really. And the kasha is, if everybody has a crown, so then it's not special. What's special about a crown? If everybody has the same Porsche, then okay, you're just driving the basic car. There's nothing. It loses its richness. So the Torah is really everybody has a different crown. Everybody has their own chelek and Torah, and everybody's crown signifies that they are the melech on that chelek. And I think that's the biggest thing we could hope for this coming Kabbalah Sotera, is that everybody should be able to really identify what their chelek is and rule over that chelek and keep those edyam that they were mekabel mehar chayrif.